Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Parshas Toldos? Yeah? Parshas Toldos. A lot of analysis in this week's Parsha. There's a lot to talk about. I was only given 15 minutes, so I'm only going to talk about one particular area. I encourage you to look into many of the various dynamic issues, whether it be between Yitzchak and Rivka, whether it be in terms of understanding the complaints Rivka had when the children were in her belly. Lama Zanochi, fascinating insight. Rivka, one of our emos, to complain is something that's a little bit strange, or to understand a beautiful insight by Rav Chasmin as to why the Torah needs to say Vayizav Esav Esav Bechorah, that Esav degraded the Bechorah, when it's pretty clear by simply selling the Bechorah, the firstborn rights, for a bowl of lentil soup. I think most of us would have concluded that that was pretty humiliating. Why did the Torah feel compelled to mention it? There's a lot to talk about. I wanted to talk about one specific topic, which there's a lot of literature on, but I saw two beautiful insights by the Nesiv HaShalom, the Neslonim Rebbe, as to how to address one particular matter. We all know that the Torah records that Yitzchak had a particular love, a particular ahava for Esav. Ayehav Yitzchak as Esav. Kitzai b'fiv. Right? The whole pasuk, though, because he saw that he was a hunter in his mouth, that's something that was attractive to Yitzchak. More than that, where was the communication between Yitzchak and Rivka? Rivka had seen certain things she didn't like. Right? There's a lot of relationship stuff that you can talk about. But more than that, we want to try to understand what exactly did Yitzchak see in Esav? And although Yitzchak ultimately came around to realize that whatever he thought he saw in Esav was in fact not the case, there may be things we can learn out from what Yitzchak thought he saw in Esav that we could help grow ourselves as Ovdei Hashem. It's kind of like when you try to understand a Havamina in the Gemara. So even though the Gemara rejects the Havamina, but by virtue of the fact that the Gemara entertains such a Havamina, it means there's something that we can learn from it. So even though ultimately Yitzchak comes around to realize that whatever he thought in Esav was not in fact something that was not in fact the case, nevertheless, if he thought something that he saw in Esav was attractive, maybe we can still learn as Ovdei Hashem. So if you'll take a look in the first page, the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slanan Rebbe, gave us two more, actually, but I'm only going to discuss two powerful insights of what Yitzchak thought he saw, what he thought he saw in Esav. We'll begin with the first column, second paragraph, V'aldas havodah yesh lomar ha'inyon, she'Yitzchak savar she'Esav hu gam kein tzadik. Yitzchak thought Esav is also a tzaddik. Right, we know the Torah says, Ish tam yoshev o'alim by Yaakov. No one was denying the fact that Yaakov was a tzaddik. But Yitzchak thought that Esav was a tzaddik as well. Rabbi Fox, why? What did he see in him? There are two drachim. There are two mahalchim. There are two approaches to avodas Hashem. Darkol she Yaakov hi, k'ma dekas of Yaakov, Ish tam yoshev o'alim. He was the kol yungalite. He was the one steiging and learning with tremendous hasmada. That's one type of derech. Shu kodesh kadosh mufash mi kalio mi olam hazeh. He was completely separate. He was completely elevated from anything that was in this world. Vosek rak betorah v'avod v'bloshechus klal inyani olam hazeh. He was a malach. He was somebody who simply was able to completely separate himself from this world and not allow the material world to get in his way. Esav was a different type of person. Esav was able to synthesize. He was able to be an Eved Hashem within the world of Olam Hazeh. He was capable of bringing Elukos, of bringing the Ribono Shel Olam into the world of Gashmi. He was able to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world of materialism. Says the Nesiv HaShalom something unbelievable. You know what he saw in Esav? He saw something in Esav that Yaakov did not represent. Yaakov was a guy who says, I want nothing to do with the world of Gashmi. I want to be in a world that's kulo ruchni, completely 100% spiritual. Yitzchak said, wait a second. What is Esav? You know what Esav is? Esav doesn't step away from the world of Olam Hazeh. He steps into the world of Olam Hazeh and brings Hashem with him. Kitzayid b'fiv, he works himself, he's an Eved Hashem within the world of Gashmi. So he doesn't separate himself, but he takes it in, right? If you recall, one of the famous Gemaras in Nazir, as to why the Nazir has to bring a Korban Chatos. What was wrong with the Nazir that he brought has to bring a Korban Chatos when he concludes his service? He separated himself from the world of Gashmi. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers the world to us that you can benefit from, and he says, I want no part of it. And to some extent, says the Gemara, we punish him for that. That's a sin. Hashem's giving you a world to enjoy, and you're willing to, you want to refrain yourself from all of that? Says the Nesiv Hashem, that's what Yitzchak saw in Esav. Esav, what he thought, had the capabilities of being able to synthesize in such a world that we could derive benefit from the world of Gashmi, but that we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that we do. And in fact, he brings proofs, which is what I love about the Nesiv HaShalom, that is meduyak, that is so interesting that you can see in the actual words of the Torah. So for example, right, when he gives the brachos, right, if you'll take a look, so initially when he thinks he's giving the brachos to Esav, what does he say? So the pasuk says, V'yitein lecha ha'elokim, mital ha'shamayim, u'mishmonei ha'aretz v'rov dagan v'tirosh. First of all, a lot to talk about, Rabbi Brand. Interestingly, that the two brachos he gives his two sons are primarily focused on the material world. You'll notice when it came to Yaakov at his deathbed and all the brothers are lining up, what types of brachos does Yaakov give to his sons? Only Ruchni. And here Yitzchak, when he gives the brachos, it's almost kulo gashmi. A lot to talk about. Maybe over at Cholent one day, you, me, and Rabbi Brand, you, yeah? One day we'll talk about it. But these brachos are primarily materialist. But you'll notice, what does he say? V'yitein lecha ha'elokim, you're going to get from Hashem, and he goes and proceeds to tell us all the gashmi things. What does the Nesiv HaShalom quote? So if you take a look at the second to last line in the first column, what does it mean, v'yitein lecha? V'yitein lecha elokusa. Hainu, sheyitein elukoso b'soch tal hashamayim u'mishmonei haaretz. You know what Yitzchak is so attracted to? He's attracted to the type of person who is somehow capable of merging the Ruchni and Gashmi world into one. We are not going to divest ourselves from the material world. We are going to bring Hashem into it. Right? What's one of the distinctions between our religion and the other religions we're aware of? Right? When a husband and a wife are together in our religion, it is one of the most sanctified, holiest acts possible. And when it produces a child, it takes it to the next level. What about in the other religions, certainly in the Christian world? Right? What happens if a husband and a wife and they have a child? You're born into this world already with sin. Right? We don't refrain from the world. We bring Elokus, we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into everything in our world. And that's why when Yitzchak gives that bracha, who he thought was Esav initially, he's bringing the bracha of taking Hashem and bringing it into the material world. In fact, if you'll take a look, beautiful, beautiful insight that he quotes from the Magid of Mezrich, the left-hand column, third line, Mezrich, what we say every day in our tefillah, Malah Haaretz Kinyonecha. We say it in the Berachos Kriyas Shema. So literally, what does Malah Haaretz Kinyonecha mean? We're talking to Hashem, we're saying, your world, Hashem, you filled with incredible resources. Malahar's kinyonecha, your resources. Listen to that, the Magid of Mezri, which interprets that those words. Ha'olam, sorry, Malahar's kinyonecha, ha'olam mali bidvarim, the world is filled with things, she'efsha liknoscha yisparach bahem. The world is filled with things that you can be kona Hashem within them. The world is filled with materialism that you can be kona Hashem within the materialism. Beautiful insight of the Magid of Mezrich. Hainu, she Yehudi yachol lahasik es Hashem yisbarach. A person can be masik, can conceptualize, can understand who Hashem is. Lo rak betorah v'avodah, not just with the more formal ways of connecting to Hashem through Liman HaTorah and through Tefillah. El afilu b'chol ha'inyonim hagashmiyim nitein liknoso yisbarach. But even the things, the mundane things, so to speak, that we are presented with in our world, even those things we find Hashem. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single moment of our lives. And that's what Yitzchak thought he saw in Esav. But then what happens, says the Nesiv HaShalom? Yaakov walks out. Who comes in? Esav. Vayecherad charada gedola. Yitzchak starts trembling. And what do we know? What do we say based on the Ma'amari Chazal? What does Yitzchak see? Gehenim opening up under Esav. And he starts to realize, I've made a terrible mistake. Do you ever notice how the second bracha is different now that he knows that he's giving the bracha to Esav and realizing that Esav could not synthesize those two things? What's different about the second bracha? I'll read it to you. The second bracha says, Mishmone ha'aretz yiyeh moshavecha. Mishmone ha'aretz yiyeh moshavecha umitala shamayim me'al. What's he talking about there? It's pretty much saying, listen, I just realized, I thought you were able to bring the Elukus into the Gashmi world. I realized by what I just saw that Hashem is teaching me a lesson. I totally miscalled that one. So at that point, since I see you can't bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world of Gashmi, I'm basically just going to give you a bracha on Gashmias. Enjoy your Gashmias. Enjoy your materialism. I see you're incapable of bringing that into the world. And so therefore, Yitzchak, Baruch Hashem, notices after he has been tricked, realizes it was all through Hashkacha and through his wife who saw what needed to be done, that the bracha that he gave to Yaakov was in fact appropriate. And the bracha that he was going to give to Yitzchak should not have any type of Elokus because Esav was not capable of doing so. And so therefore the first approach that I'd like to suggest in the name of the Nesiv HaShalom, so beautiful, is that what Yitzchak thought he saw in Esav, what he thought Esav represented, was an ability not like Yaakov. Yaakov was the Ishtam Yoshev Olam, was sitting behind the shtender and learning, which is very, very important, which is what we're doing all now. He thought that Esav represented that ability to synthesize the world of Gashmi, the material world, with bringing what I believe to be this Elukus, this Ribono Shalom, that we see every blade of grass that is green, and we see that every baby is born healthy, and we see our bodies working properly, and you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally the Yad Hashem, in every single thing that you're seeing. That's what he thought he saw in Esav. He ultimately discovered he was wrong. He realized that that wasn't the case. And so therefore, when he gives the bracha to Esav, he takes the Elukus out and just gives him the bracha of Gashmi. So number one, it's a tremendous insight into what we need to be doing. We need to be constantly working as part of our Avodas Hashem to not just be learning and davening, not that it's just the just, it's a very important piece, but our whole lives have to be enveloped in seeing Hashem, understanding the Elukus, the presence of Hashem in our lives. I tell my students, I tell the parents of my students, one of our mantras for this year, I don't know if I mentioned the last few weeks, is talking more about Hashem. I think one of the chasronos of our kids' generation is they're so focused on so many other things, and we need to cover a certain amount of ground in curriculum, which is all very important. But we don't talk enough about Hashem. We have to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he plays such an integral role in our lives. Sometimes he's going to answer our tefillos, yes. Sometimes he's going to answer our tefillos, no. But there's only one being that's going to be listening and deciding whether it's going to be yes or no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Elokus, the presence of Hashem in our lives has to be in every walk. I tell my students all the time, they ask me, can we daven that we should do well on a test? Is that an important enough thing to daven for? And I tell them, if you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every part of your life, when you daven for that test, you're just showing Hashem that you're a ma'amin. You're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you literally believe from top to bottom, waking up in the morning, have a healthy body, making sure your family's okay, and doing well in a test, is all part of Hashem's Hashkacha. Daven for whatever you want, as long as you're going to recognize that there's Elokus in your life. I have 4 minutes. He was late, Rabbi Moskowitz. I got a couple of extra minutes. He was late. Okay. So the second insight I want to share with you in the few short minutes I have left is a different approach that Nesiv HaShalom shares about what Yitzchak thought he saw in Esav. Again, realized he was not correct, but again, something that I think is incumbent upon us to imbibe, to imbue within ourselves, and to pass on to our children and grandchildren as part of our Masorah. Uba'ofen, the second paragraph, left-hand column, Uba'ofen Yishlomer, Kisfar as Yitzchak Haisa, Lo Shem Hochim Bebeis Shito, so it wasn't they were going through two approaches, two spiritual character traits that were being represented. Yaakov kolos elu shebetiva mufrashim legamri meolam hazeshem kodesh kadoshim. Yaakov represented a character trait of a malach. Kodesh kadoshim, no yetzer hara, just doing the right thing. Vilu esav hem elu sheyesh lam yetzer hara chazak bioser. Kama dekosov yetzer harishon admoni shemerumas lizgabrus hayetzer hara boer bo kaesh. You know what Esav represented? Esav represented us. We've got a Yetzer Tov, which hopefully we try to follow more than the Yetzer Hara. But we've got that Yetzer Hara who's not letting go of us so fast. In fact, that's why Esav, as he points out, is called the Admoni, the red one, because the Yetzer Hara burns like a fiery ash. like a fire. That's why he was an Admoni. He was a red one. Esav struggled with a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. And Yitzchak appreciated that in Avodas Hashem, you're going to struggle with a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. Most people are not Yaakov. Most people are not capable of completely divorcing themselves from the Yetzer Hara where it has no impact on their Avodas Hashem. Most people are not able to ignore and completely obliterate their Yetzer Hara. Esav was facing the Yetzer Hara. And he quotes the Zohar Kadosh and the other Midrashim, all showing that the value of struggling with the Yetzer Hara and ultimately coming out on top, the tremendous schar and the ultimate reward of a stronger relationship with Hashem is incomparable to one who doesn't have that taiva. Right? The Gemara says the place that a Baal Tshuva is in, who saw it all and overcame it all, somebody who grew up from birth could never possibly attain that level. Why? Because people who all saw it all, heard it all, was experiencing it all, and still was capable of overcoming it all, that type of person you can't even possibly compete with. And for that reason, Yitzchak thought, you know what? Esav is that guy. Esav is the one who's at side b'fiv, but he's trying to work through it all. He's trying to be machmen on certain things. He's trying to be maestro on melach or kibbut avaim. He's trying to do his part. And that was something that was attractive to Yitzchak. That was something that he saw in Esav, something about really delving into, getting into your kishkas and trying to work through your avodas Hashem, trying to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and trying to earn your place in the world to come. And that was appealing to Yitzchak. Until once again, when he was ready to give the bracha to Esav, what did he see? He saw again and he realized, oh, he pulled a fast one over me. This guy isn't trying to go against the Yetzer Hara. He's trying to bring on the Yetzer Hara. He wants more Yetzer Hara. He wants more to be involved in that world. And that's when he realized he needed to veer back to Yaakov. Again, an unbelievable insight in terms of the value that Yitzchak places on not trying to ignore or pretend that we don't have a Yetzer Hara, but rather to name, recognize, acknowledge, and try to fight against the Yetzer Hara, something that we're all aware of. I'll close with this. I always find that in the generation we live in, right, Rabbi Goldberg loves to make these jokes all the time, we live in the instantaneous gratification world. We live in a world where people rather take a diet pill instead of trying to exercise and lose weight, right? There's many, many examples, unfortunately, in our world to try to cut as many corners because we don't live in a world, and certainly our next generation is challenged in this area, where work ethic and really working towards the goal instead of trying to find some way around it is really where it's at. And I think it's incumbent upon us, both as individuals and as grandparents, parents, to try to pass this message along to our children that struggling is part of what is going to help you grow. That struggling, working through something, is going to serve as an important catalyst for your avdus and your service of Hashem. And so although ultimately Yitzchak recognizes and discovers that what he thought he saw in Esav was in fact incorrect, we can learn a tremendous amount for the value that Yitzchak places on what he thinks Esav was, both in terms of understanding the value of trying to synthesize the Olam HaGashmi and the Olam HaRuchni, looking for Hashem in our lives, in every step, in every walk of life, in every example, in every scenario that we can, seeing Hashem, bring Hashem into our lives, being part of our lexicon, part of our conversations on a regular basis. And number two, understanding that although Yitzchak thought he saw this in Esav, but in fact wasn't the case, trying to focus on, not deny, but acknowledge, name, confront the Yetzer, struggle through it, because ultimately struggle, from tzara agar, no pain, no gain, only through that struggle and that avodas Hashem will we ultimately strengthen our relationship with Hashem, which of course is our ultimate goal. Have a great day.